What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And before we get started on our topic today, I'd like to remind everyone that we put out a weekly newsletter. And so you can go to sewhere.com/lovenote and sign up. If you already get our weekly newsletter, I hope you enjoy it. You won't be able to sign up again. I had a few people go and be like, it wouldn't let me sign up. Oh. I'm like, I think you already get our newsletter.
Because you are already getting it.
Anyway, thank you.
And what is it called?
Sewhere.com/lovenote, because it's not a newsletter.
It's a love note.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Okay. Okay, so today we're talking about walking feet.
Yes.
Do you want to start off with your, you know, you kind of like a this...
I have a history.
This personal history.
I know the history a little bit. I think, you know,
I'm
going to say what I know.
Yeah, if your little, here, yeah, disclaimer, if your little history of the walking foot isn't, you know, completely all-encompassing, it is a good, I think, perspective of a very enthusiastic home sewer who then got into the sewing machine business, da-da-da-da-da, and this
like,
is how...
That's who I am.
You know, that's
well,
who you
know,
are.
So, you know the other thing about sewing and its history?
Uh-huh.
This is what's been, like, we know who invented the sewing machine, except we really don't, because Singer beat him to the... But anyway,
right, it's a long story.
It's a little muddled there, what happened. The thing about sewing history is a lot of sewing was done by women.
Yeah.
And women could not read and women could not write.
No. Well, and.
And it was, so there's no good written history of a lot of these things that are techniques
or not even
evolutions.
Just, you know, when we talk about women not being literate, you know, or the sewing was done by people who were.
Well, fancy sewing was done by the rich.
Right.
So like things like embroidery and all mm-hmm. that, those were the ladies that were,
right.
you know, trained to sit around and they did this in their leisure time. The other, like in, you know, what should we call it? Practical sewing
sure.
or, you know, what would be considered something like a home task.
Mm-hmm.
Those were done by the really, really poor people.
Right.
Right. And so if they developed a technique, they pass it along, you know, mouth by mouth or whatever.
Right.
It was not passed along. So that's, I think, why a lot of time, like you and I, you know, I have a denim story that you don't believe is the real denim story.
Well, I heard, no, I think the denim story has been corroborated. The corduroy story
the corduroy story is kind of
screwy.
Is the
one that
yeah.
apparently is not
true. I guess that's why when, you know, I hate to give it, say it's a disclaimer. It's what we've sort of thought we believed as things have gone on. And, you know, history evolves in different places. Something could be happening in Europe and is happening differently, maybe, you know, on the other side of the pond.
Right.
Or, you know, in the mid, you know, the Far East versus, you know, just the Eastern countries.
Right.
So everything evolves a little bit differently.
So
it all always wasn't global.
Right. And, you know, I guess if we're talking about the walking feet and people are like, well, my walking, you know, I have another walking foot. Well, of course, it's possible. You know, we've seen a lot. Maybe
and sometimes we call things the wrong thing, or not the wrong thing, but they've somehow evolved into we're using an industrial term in a home setting, and it's not really the same mechanism.
Right. Okay. So talk about when you were sewing.
Okay. Well, what I originally believed was a walking foot was what they had in industry, and my uncle, okay, did upholstery, a lot on cars. He did a lot of, like, he had, you know, a business. And his walking foot was on this big, hunky, ugly, greasy machine. I don't know how he kept his stuff clean. It always seemed like it was dirty in there to me. I mean, and this man was truly an artist. He could cover anything if he had a good piece of vinyl, okay?
Yeah.
You know. So anyway, he had this huge industrial machine, and he one time said, this is a walking foot. Because I said, why is that foot stacked on top of itself?
Oh. Okay.
So it looked like there was a foot, your regular foot with the little, you know, toes of it hanging out. And then it looked like there was another foot hanging between it. So it was right on top of each other.
Right.
It wasn't behind the needle bar or in front of the needle bar or to the side.
It was this foot
that looked like it was stacked on top of each other. And what he said to me was, that helps pull heavy things together because just the feed dogs and the one presser foot would miss contact.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and it wouldn't help pull. So to me, that was a walking foot for years.
That was when you were young, little kid,
in the 50s. Uh-huh. Okay, now
I had
no orientation to home sewing machines at all at that time.
Right.
I had absolutely none. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was to make contact with the goods, is what he said, and so that they would have even pressure from the top and the bottom, and it would get pulled through. Otherwise, especially the vinyl being sometimes slick or not being rough enough on the back or whatever, you know. And these things were thick. You know,
right.
You have like an eighth inch, especially if he was like putting piping in it. Oh, I mean, you know, he did some of that very detailed work. Okay. So that's what I thought was a walking foot, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, I don't know when this evolved or what happened or anything, but there's also something that we with home machines call a built-in walking foot. And it's something that it's like this little mechanism that you can pull back down behind your needle bar. And it looks like a little toe.
Yeah.
And it moves like in conjunction
with
your feed dogs.
Yeah.
Like in the same motion, going the same way.
It looks like a little hook almost.
Right.
And mom's got her finger on the table. She's sort of like stroking the table.
Like I was a horse counting.
Yeah. And she looks like she's, you know, pulling fabric through help you along.
Pulling.
There you go. Okay.
So that is not a true walking foot. Even though people will sell it to you, dealers would say to you, it has a built-in walking foot.
Uh-huh.
It is not a built-in walking foot. It is a puller foot.
And they will call it, everybody's got their own name
right.
for it. Every brand will say it's dual feed or built-in, which dual feed
would be correct. It would be a synonym because it's feeding from the top.
Yeah, there's two feeds, right?
And the reason I call it a puller foot is it's not making contact with the feed dogs.
Right?
So the feed dogs, it's not like the top pressure and the bottom pressure are meeting at the same time.
Right.
Okay? All right. So that's what I knew as a puller foot. And like I said, dual feed, walking foot, you'll hear it called built-in. Built-in, dual feed, built-in. Okay. Then comes along what the home industry needed, the dressmakers needed this, to match fabrics with plaids, keep velvets or velveteens moving at the same rate. Corduroy was another one. Anything that had that pile that would make it slip or not grip the same. Mm-hmm. They made this thing called a plaid matcher.
That's what it was called.
I believe that's what I heard it was called.
So Mom's telling me this. I will tell you, we don't like rehearse a lot for these podcasts, but like
she doesn't know this.
This is complete news to me, okay? And I'd love to know if there like is there packaging where it's called a plaid matcher?
The only thing I have ever used the current day home walking foot for.
Right.
The only thing I have ever used it for is matching a plaid.
Well, and we'll,
or a stripe or a design.
We'll get into some other uses for the what we now call the walking foot after the message break. But so you bought a plaid matcher. When did you like buy a plaid matcher?
I got given one or so. I can't remember how this happened.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I was given one. One did not come with it. Like
and they
the
weren't
machine
like,
I
here's
had.
A walking foot. They were like,
no,
here's
no, no.
a plaid matcher.
It was a pattern matcher or a plaid matcher, something like that, where we matched the pattern that was on the fabric.
Sure.
In dressmaker terms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and like matching plaids.
Right.
You know, everybody. That can be hard.
Or home deck.
Yeah, that can be difficult or whatever. So
especially if your two fabrics aren't feeding the same.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it helped. So your plaid matcher and the walking foot. Let's explain a little bit how they work. So modern day, what everybody kind of is going to think of as a walking foot.
Which everybody at home has. That's called a walking foot now.
Uh-huh.
How does it work? Well, first of all, it attaches to your needle bar. Mm-hmm. And your shank, both.
Yeah.
You have a little flipper lever there that has to hit your needle screw area because that lever goes up and down and up and down.
So most of them are going to screw on to your presser foot shank because they're a big contraption-looking thing.
That's right.
A lot of people are like, oh, my God, what is this? And then there's
Yeah, it's not always easy to get on.
No,
sometimes you
not.
Have to kind of go sideways to get it on.
Yeah, you got to kind of fiddle
Definitely
with it.
Your shank has to be all the way up.
Yeah, presser foot up, needle bar, you know, in the correct position. So then you have that claw. And why it's important, I've seen people just not put the claw on the needle bar.
It won't do anything.
Why the claw on the needle bar is important is because when the needle bar goes up and down, it's doing so in time with the feed dogs.
Right.
We talk about timing.
Timing is very important.
Your timing's off. I need a timing adjusted. Right. We talk about timing all the time. And so the walking foot, I would often explain it as a second set of feed dogs.
Like a top feed dog.
Top feed
now,
dog.
And that is how I explain it. But in reality, all it's doing is adding pressure. So the feed dogs meet.
Right.
And those layers sort of meet and get pulled back by the feed dogs.
Right.
That walking foot is really not pulling back.
Right.
If you really, really look at the mechanism and how it's working, that feed dog is just coming down to meet with more pressure.
Yeah, just kind of punching down.
Right. Which is what I do with my hands when I sew.
And you can make the walking foot do this while it's off your machine by moving that claw.
If you move those little things, you can see how it works.
Yeah.
So what we call a walking foot is really just like the cyclic downward pressure, but it contributes to the feeding of the fabric.
Right, right.
Even though it's not feeding, it's a contributor.
Yeah, and it's a helpful. What people are using it most for nowadays is quilts.
Right.
Walking feet.
Well, and that's what happened. All of a sudden, when we started putting these battings together.
Yeah.
And we wanted to do it
on the machine.
Because, you know, it was done by hand for all those years.
Sure.
It was a social thing, to quilt your quilt, hand quilt your quilt. So when people started using the machine, they realized it wasn't feeding well, all of these layers, or they were sliding. And so the walking foot definitely helped them.
Right.
Now, it doesn't always make it perfect. It doesn't mean you don't have to have some skill to do this.
Oh, sure. It can make a big difference.
Yeah.
I mean, our district manager had me do a demo on the baby lock of a little quilt square. She said, hey, just run this, little sample of a quilt sandwich through with just the presser foot.
Right.
She said, and then run it through with the fabric sensor on. So there's fabric sensors on some of the baby locks. And then she said, then run it through with the fabric sensor and the walking foot on, you know, and it really did. It made a big difference.
And you were just letting it go through. You weren't controlling it.
No, I was gently guiding.
Just
it.
Guiding.
Yeah.
Directionally guiding it.
Yeah, it can make a big difference for people who are running all those big layers.
Now,
together.
I have heard people say to me, oh, but, you know, when you get that bulky seam, it helps you go over that seam. Now, here's my take on that. First of all, that's what I use my knee lift for.
Right.
If I have to walk over a seam, mm-hmm. that's why I have a knee lift, because I have both hands on my project, and I have my knee lift, and I'm lifting my foot, and I'm going. And then there's also feet that help accommodate that a little bit. You know. But as far as, like, transversing a seam and making it that much easier, not all of these walking feet are really capable of that. They don't even lift high enough
to
do
that. Over that seam.
So, I don't know that it really helps do that.
Well, we're going to end our little non-controversial section of the podcast with this last comment, right, Zini?
Okay.
And then we'll take a message break and come back.
And then we'll talk about what people are doing nowadays.
Yes. Go ahead. Do you have something else to add before the message break?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you had one more thing.
No, I'm just saying that there's more to talk about.
Yes, yes.
So we can have a little commercial.
A little commercial.
And then we can come back and we can still be talking a little bit about walking feet, about what I think we haven't talked about yet.
Okay.
Hey, Mal.
Hey, Mom.
I heard you were easy.
Oh, no.
What does that mean?
No, it means what you really heard was, well, Mallory, your easy tee looks so good on you.
Oh,
yes.
I should have known that it was something about something you made.
Like you said, you're getting into your golden years. Sometimes, you know, mishearing things. It happens.
No, you're
the
one that mishears things. I know this. You make lapel pins about it.
Okay. So I am currently wearing an easy tee and I wear them all the time. The easy tee is a semi-fitted short sleeve t-shirt made out of a woven fabric. And you draft the easy tee to fit your measurements by taking the Easy Tee class.
Well, how do I take this class?
It's an online class that you can watch anytime on SewHere.com. To purchase the class, go to SewHere.com/EasyTee. That's just EASYT.
Is this on my computer?
It's on your computer. It's on your phone. It's on your iPad. The class is divided up into short, easily consumable segments, some of which you may not ever need to watch ever again, but some of which you might want to revisit. So you have the ability to mark lessons as completed and also to star lessons so you can go back and revisit the ones that are most important to you.
And I can vouch, Mallory's easy tea is a lot easier than Mallory is.
Once again, go to SewHere.com/EasyTee to begin your pattern drafting journey.
Sewing out loud.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. All right. So what do we want to start with in this little section of the podcast?
About I can't wait to hear. I don't even know what she's going to say. Well, so this will be a surprise to
okay,
me. But okay.
I'll start off.
Okay.
And then, like, this is just my perspective on this issue. We see this so often. It gets recommended a lot to use a walking foot for knits.
And, okay, I shouldn't say this. Well, I guess. Here's what I want to say. 6 out of 7 people, I've looked this up on the internet because I couldn't figure out why people were recommending this, right?
Uh-huh.
6 out of the 7 people that have recommended this, 4 of them I've never seen use it.
Okay. Okay. Oh, this isn't like a like you looked at 7 blog posts.
This is
posts.
My
okay.
statistics.
Okay. Okay. Got
no,
it.
No,
got
no, no.
It.
This is what I mean, I'm not going to look anymore because they were making me sick. Okay. I can only look at so many when I go, what the hell are you people trying to do?
Okay.
Okay. So I looked at 7 different ones. I should have written this down because I think I look at 7 different ones.
Okay.
4 of them. Is that what I said? 4 of them never even used it. They said, oh, you're going to need this in this project. And then they never used it.
Okay. Like in a video.
Yeah.
They were like, have a walking foot.
It was an instructional video. We're going to make leggings or something. And you'll need a walking foot and you'll need this. And they never used it.
Okay.
And I thought, well, that's nice.
Okay.
Like, they don't know what the hell they're doing, everyone. Or they certainly don't know how to edit their videos.
Right.
Okay. So anyway, I was like, okay, so everybody talks about using it. Who the hell is using it, right? Or who the heck is using it? So anyway, and then out of those 6 of those 7 people, of course, now remember, 4 of them didn't use it. So the 2 that did.
Uh-huh.
Their stuff look, well, actually, all 6 of those people's stuff looked like junk.
Right.
But 2 that did use it, it still looked bad.
Yeah,
it was. They were like, well, it's a little wavy. And I'm like, a little?
Right.
But anyway, that's me being critical because if I can't do it, I'm certainly not going to teach it to you.
Sure, sure.
I mean, no, really, there are things I can't do and I will not teach them to you.
Sure.
But so there was one person and I, you know what? I thought I wrote this down and I don't see it. And she seemed to be using it, and it worked. Now, what I would believe to be true is it's only going to work on certain knits.
Okay, so this is where I want to chime in about us and walking feet on knits. To be 100% freaking honest here, I have never used a walking foot on knits. It has never occurred to me. It goes against our instincts. We're going to explain why. If you like to use a walking foot on your knits and it's making you successful.
If it's successful, do it.
Yes,
absolutely
but
do it.
We do want to put our perspective out there here and on this, especially since we do sew with a lot of knits. Like just, I'm wearing some right now. And we do, you all know we love our sergers, but we also sew on the sewing machine with our knits. It's not like
I just made a pair of pants using my sewing machine.
I did the neckline on this shirt with
a lot of times we, and this seems to be where people do have trouble with knits for, apparently, is in top stitching.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Here's my deal about the knits. We want to, I guess a walking foot's supposed to be an even feed foot. It's supposed to make things feed evenly.
Right.
And I know that knits can want to move around on you because they are stretchy fabrics. But I think that a walking foot would be very bulky, okay, in the use of knits.
Right.
And also, you want your knits sometimes to stretch and not feed evenly.
Well, sometimes you're stretching like a neck band or a sleeve.
A neck band?
You're stretching.
A sleeve
you're stretching.
Cap?
You're stretching.
You're stretching the fabric.
You're stretching a piece to fit a piece that's not being stretched.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, and this can, you can think about this on some wovens too.
Sometimes it's absolutely true.
Sometimes we are easing together 2 seams of different lengths.
So sometimes that is what is called technique.
Okay. Well, and you know, we do need to put our money where our mouth is and do a video on holding fabric and just video ourselves sewing for sure. But the other thing is, I think people concern themselves with parts of the garment that they don't need to be thinking about when sewing, okay? What you
this would be good.
Okay. This
I really want to hear this.
I see this a lot. You need to concern yourself with what is under the needle.
Right.
Okay? And concern, of course, with your seam allowance as well. And you've chosen a guide that doesn't move. It's probably a line on the bed of your sewing machine on your throat plate.
And, or it's a piece of tape. Now, wait a minute. A guide. Do not look at the needle.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Do not look at the needle when you sew.
So let me continue, because that may have sounded, when I said concern yourself about what's under your needle, right? So when I was easing together the hood of my Kelly anorak, it was like these two curved pieces,
right.
Okay? All right, over to the left of my needle.
Right.
This fabric was bunched up.
That's right.
It looked awful.
And that's exactly what I was going to say. Yes.
Over on the left side of your needle, it looks like hell. Okay.
Right.
But under my needle, my fabric is
flat. Exactly where you're piercing that fabric.
Okay, my fabric is flat where I'm piercing the fabric, and my raw edges met up to the right of my needle on my 5/8 inch seam allowance.
That's
now,
right.
Okay, that's a woven, guys. All right. So then when I'm doing my T-shirt sleeves on the serger, on the sewing machine, I'm concerned that what is underneath my needle is flat,
right,
and that my raw edges are meeting.
That's
and like
right.
over here to the left, I mean, don't let your fabric.
Well, you want
know,
to make sure your fabric's supported and not pulling on anything, that kind of thing.
But
absolutely.
Like, knits oftentimes have such a small seam allowance.
Well,
I'll have a quarter inch seam allowance.
The other thing is that home walking foot,
yeah.
Okay, everybody? It's going to react differently when you have a bulkiness on one side of the seam and a non-bulkiness on the other. It just doesn't make sense to me.
I think it would, and once again, this has flown in the face of, like, I don't even know if I can bring myself to
No, we
to
have
do
to
this.
Try it.
I don't know. But I
Hey, when I quilt stuff together, I don't use a walking foot.
Well,
okay?
I've used the walking foot, but We do want to encourage people to use tools that make them successful.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So sometimes, you know, you are expert in fabric manipulation, sending stuff through, not letting
Among other things I manipulate.
So obviously mom's a good manipulator.
I love that title.
She is good at keeping things from sliding around. This takes practice. But the walking foot, I'm like, how would
I just
that let you
all I can think of is
through?
I started sewing on knits in the 60s,
uh-huh.
the late 60s. Oh, they were horrible too, guys. They were just horrid things. Talk about making a mistake and it being ugly. It was really ugly. I have never used a walking foot, and I've never had trouble. And I've made thousands of garments. I have made garments out of stretch velvet without a walking foot.
Right.
I mean, now here's the other thing. The walking foot tends to hold the fabric very straight, too,
yes.
and pulls it straight. So if you're on a curve, you're out of luck. You need to be lifting that presser foot and moving it a little.
Right.
Lifting it.
No.
So there's nothing like, I guess what I want to say, expedient
also,
or
you're
about
not,
it.
You're not supposed to go backwards with a walking
no,
foot.
No, you're not.
And a stitch that we use a lot for knits is the lightning stitch.
That's
you
right.
You know, which is
That's
it
right.
goes backwards slightly.
That's right.
And
now
I mean,
you can use a zigzag with a
yes, and I
a walking
say
foot.
I say you shouldn't go backwards, but you know, Linda Turner, who worked for us for a while, she's listening.
Oh no,
she did that border on that baby quilt with like a built-in alphabet from the sewing machine, and she used the walking foot, and it looked fine. So I guess
wow,
you know, yeah, you're not. I'm just saying,
yeah,
test it out.
Usually,
you know?
You're not supposed to do any decorative stitches unless they're all going in a forward
in a
fashion.
Forward direct. No,
yeah.
Because I said, oh, Linda, you're not supposed to do that. And she's like, well, I did it, Mallory.
Well, and
you know,
you know, I mean, the rules are there. You know, and one of my little things is, you can break the rules, but you really have to do them right first and understand them before you can break them.
Or be prepared for the consequences.
Well, that's true.
You know.
Yeah, that's true. That's very
so
true.
I see a lot of people in our group who I know, like, have sewn things for themselves successfully.
Right.
And they say they're using a walking foot. And so, once again, If you're being successful with it, more power to you. But this is, I'm just looking around at all these knits that we have here.
I know everything in here that hasn't been done with a walking foot.
Well, or I'm looking at these fabrics, and remember you said different types of knits would be different.
That's right. And so, the different pressure you put on a knit depends on if it does get wavy.
Right. And so we've got like sweatshirt knit in here, scuba knit, swimsuit lining, and like ponte and stuff.
Right.
Some of these are more stable, and some, you know, a legging pattern, there's not a ton of easing to be done.
No.
There's curves, right, sort of, but like I think about a sleeve and a t-shirt, putting on a neck band. You know what someone did say in the group? Said they were having a lot of trouble putting a neck band on a t-shirt. And then she said, oh, I realized it was because I had basting stitches on it.
And that and stabilized it.
And it wasn't allowing it to stretch. Right. And I was like, this is such a good learning experience.
So if you want to baste your knits, right here, everybody, you have to baste with a long zigzag stitch. Because it has to give.
Right.
So once you put a straight stitch in it, you've stabilized it.
Or maybe she hand basted it.
Well, that doesn't work well either. Right.
If you're going to hand baste it, I guess the way, for something, a neck band's supposed to stretch so much. Not everything is supposed to stretch that much, you know. But she said, I took those out and it helped. And so there are challenges in sewing with knits, and you have to be ready for them. You have to know. This is new to me, maybe. Okay. But you want that fabric to be weird.
Okay.
You know?
I'm getting into an area where I'm going to try not to offend, but I need to be honest. Okay. And it's quality of a machine. Okay.
Yeah.
If your machine is not feeding a knit well, it may never feed a knit well.
It is possible.
It's very possible. Believe me, I know.
Right.
I have worked on really crappy machines. I've worked on really good machines. And it always doesn't have to do with price, I have to tell you. The other thing is, you can look at these walking feet, and some of them are truly awful. They're made very poorly. They're not, I mean, there is a difference between walking feet. And if you're brand of machine has a cheap walking foot you can buy to fit it, or a more expensive one, I want you to really take a look at them or ask somebody if they know the differences, because it really does make, you could just tell by feeling it that there's going to be a difference in its performance.
A walking foot could cost you $120, $150.
Yeah. Right.
Dollars.
Right.
Okay. It could. Now, there are cheaper ones out there, like Mom said. The other thing is, if you find that your machine's performance is so improved by a walking foot and you're just feeding like two layers of cotton through there, you might have yourself a machine that doesn't have very strong feed dogs, doesn't have...
Your feed dogs may need to be adjusted.
Yeah, that's true too. So, you know, we're looking...
You know, I wore out a pair of feed dogs on a machine once.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, literally, I was like, what? This isn't a feeding room. I'm having all this trouble. And my feed dogs were worn slick.
Down.
That's how much I sewed. Yeah, they wore them slick.
And, you know, now they make the feed dogs on, like, the higher end baby locks, you know, out of, like, diamonds or something.
Right, exactly.
Or whatever,
I mean, everything's gotten better.
And if you actually, I've seen customers do this, they'll sew in the air, which isn't recommended. It will scratch up the bottom of their presser feet, because those feed dogs are so resilient. You know, the foot's not made out of...
The foot is not as strong as the feed dog.
Right. And the foot's cheaper to replace than the feed
Absolutely.
Dogs, right? You know, so there's that reason.
The other thing that, I mean, while we're on walking feet or dual feeds and all the whatever we're on, and also even the quality of machine, people will think that a walking foot will compensate for a machine that's not going to pierce this or not going to pierce that. That's not really what's going to happen, okay? Because piercing has nothing to do with the walking foot.
No, yeah.
What happens is people think it's about the feet and they're bending needles, and it's not. And if you're on a project that is curvy It has a lot of curves and all those things. And you think a walking help is going to help you. I think it's going to hinder you.
I think it would too.
I think it's bulky. It's good. In fact, if you can get the smallest foot possible,
right,
you're better off. And that's what I would do. If somebody said, well, I'm going to make this and I've got to go through this many layers of, you know, webbing or whatever or vinyl, or I'd say you need a single hole presser foot. Preferably a narrow one where the fingers are narrow, mm-hmm. and you only use a straight stitch. That will help you feed through that machine
very
much
supportive.
Better than the walk. If you think about it, the walking foot is letting go.
Right.
It's down and up, down. So it's actually letting go at some point.
Right.
If you have that single hold straight stitch presser foot, mm-hmm. that can do more for you than that walking foot.
Right, right.
But the walking foot will cost you more.
And
so.
And like we said, we're not, you know, saying walking feet are unnecessary.
No,
in sewing,
no, not at all.
Well,
like, and
that,
I know,
you know,
quilters love them.
Yes. And I mean,
I know quilters love them. I just don't quilt that much. And the quilting I've done, I've not used a walking
and
foot.
And, you know, I didn't know you were going to bring up those like videos or bloggers that you had mentioned.
It totally freaked me out.
But this is great because if somebody is really recommending something, just look at their work.
Well, and I will tell you, this one person.
If someone is using the walking foot to great effect, then you know that they did it.
I honestly don't know if this one person's project was because she was such a poor sewer or it was such a poor fit or whatever. But she's talking about this walking foot. I never saw her use it, which was really funny. And then she put on these leggings and they looked horrendous.
Right.
There was all of this bagging and pulling and they didn't fit her.
Right.
So I was like, please, if you're taking someone's recommendation, look at what they've done first.
Sure.
Because it's just going to cause you grief.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you want your leggings to look like that. I mean, I guess there's a point there that, you know, but I was just, I felt sorry for the woman making the video and
right.
I felt sorry for anybody who was going to follow her.
Well, it can happen. I mean, we all have run across some pretty, you know, janky sewing tutorials. I'm sure,
I've taken classes by people who I thought knew a whole lot more than me that
right.
I was, you know, really ready to learn something, and I got in there and I thought, oh no.
Right.
Oh no. You know, so I mean, but like I said, I'm talking about saving you your grief and your time.
Well,
you know, you just can't think everybody on the internet. I'm telling you, not everybody in every book that's published is right either.
The walking foot thing on the knits, like we said, we haven't tried it yet. But it just, every time I think about
it doesn't physically make sense to me.
Every time I think about it, I'm being just so perfectly, like, honest and vulnerable here.
I know.
I'm like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. And I believe that it's
taught. Well, the other thing is we've had a lot of success without a walking foot.
Right. Or, you know, I just never even considered needing to tame my knits like that.
Right.
They've never caused me that much trouble.
No.
And I have sewn on those cheaper machines that, you know, like the entry level baby locks and
right.
stuff. We
well,
got
no,
them in guide class.
Well, no,
no
I guess
nicer.
I might be
those
talking on even a.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some machines out there, especially something that's sold like in a box store. You've got to really, really, really be careful. And it may even have a manufacturer's name on it. Okay. Like Brother would be one. And it's not really a real Brother.
Right.
Okay, it's something that Brothers slapped their name on that they said, oh, yeah, they sew on us on Project Runway, so you'll want to buy our machine. And it may really be a piece of crap.
Right.
I mean, if you're sewing with that and you're successful, you know.
Keep going.
I'm sorry. Right. I mean,
yeah, keep going.
But also, I remember it was when I actually got my first Bernina,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I had a high-end, so had a couple of high-end sewing machines before I had a Bernina. But what struck me was how fast it went. And I was like,
right.
why didn't someone tell me this machine went faster than all the rest?
Right.
You know, and I mean, I could tell the difference. And it had a knee lift.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, it had a knee lift.
I think the knee lift is really awesome for knits, too. And I did a little, in the self-sewn wardrobe group, I just did a little knee lift demo. I didn't sew on anything. Because the knee lift is so hard to film because
Yeah, you need two screens going at the same time.
Yeah, you want to be talking about your project, then you're like, hey, I just used my knee, in case you don't believe
so
me.
So I don't know how offensive that this has been to anyone. It's definitely our view. It's from our experience. I just don't, I guess what it is I don't want somebody fooling around with a walking foot to try and make it better, and it's really not going to.
Well, and tell us your experience with and without the walking foot. You can do so in the comments on the podcast, you know, at sewingoutloud.com. You'll see this episode. You can comment in, comment on it like a blog post. You can get to me via email, mallory@sewhere.com. And we're on Instagram as at ZD Sewing Studio. So do you have anything else to add, Mom?
I hope not. I just feel like I've cut down walking feet and I didn't mean to. It's just that they have their purpose. And I feel like they're being applied to almost confuse people.
It's been weighing heavily on our minds.
Yeah, we've been thinking about this for a long time.
Yeah. Okay, well, say your thing, Mama.
Okay. So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.